Welcome back, mother lovers, to the best damn How I Met Your Mother podcast on the internet. This is Last Call at McLaren's, and I am one of your hosts, Josh, here with my best bud, John. How you doing, man? It has been a bit. We've been off for a month.
It's been a long month, too, man, without you in my life.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of, we're doing different things here and there.
People at home don't know that. Shut up.
I mean,
all continuity, bro.
If they're paying attention to the YouTube channel, they at least saw us together in one video.
Listen, bro, it's called keeping kayfabe. Kayfabe is real, damn it.
And now the majority of the audience is like, well, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
So, I can't complain, man. I'm excited to be back for season 4. Bigger beards, bigger attitude, bigger episodes. Well, your beard actually looks like it might have gotten shorter.
No, it's about the same. It doesn't really grow anymore.
Mine is definitely the longest it's been in a very long time.
Yeah, it's getting there. Let us know, folks. Hop on the Twitter at Last Call HIMYM, or hop over to Simply Sane J1. Let John know how his beard's coming in.
Yeah, peeps, let me know what's up. Simply Sane J1, the Not Your Mama podcast location.
Whoa.
But no, seriously though, how are you doing though? I mean, it was a decent break from How I Met Your Mother. You already did.
I am excited to get into season 4. It's good times. I'm real excited. As the people who are watching saw, I will have put a previously on video at the beginning of it. So enjoy that. For those listening, I'm not going to do that because you're not going to see everything because it's just some music and you're not going to actually see the previously on stuff. So go check it out on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You're going to have to hop on over to the YouTube channel. Yeah. Josh, what's that? Put that link into the description.
Oh, it's always in there. It's in there.
I mean, if they're on the YouTube channel, I guess they don't have to look for the link in the description because it wouldn't be there otherwise.
It's true.
You know what? Just hop on over to YouTube. Look for the Merc with the movie blog.
Yes, I'm sure if you just typed in Last Call at McLaren's, you'd find it.
Hell yeah.
I'm sure.
I know I've found it that way a couple times.
Yeah. All right, so we are here. Season 4, episode 1. Do I know you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you know me, but...
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You think you know me.
This episode debuted on September 22nd of 2008, directed by our favorite director, Pamela Fryman.
Pamela Fryman, yep.
That's right, man. And written by the boys themselves, Carter Bays and Craig Thomas. They always do the season premieres. So here we are with that. And we got the summary for this one. Ted and Stella get engaged. But Ted soon learns that he doesn't know anything about her. Meanwhile, Barney confesses to Lily that he's in love with Robin.
Oh, shivy. That's actually a really good synopsis.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably one of the better ones I've ever seen them do for any of the episodes between both, series.
Probably. So, even though this season, we have the whole stuff with Stella, and Stella and Ted, it's like half of the season, technically. But she's only in 4 episodes. If you go through,
I think she
might be mentioned in a couple of other ones in between there, but she's only in 4 episodes. And I found out that's because that's all that they could negotiate between her full-time Scrubs contract that she
had. I was going to say, I mean, this is right around the time of season 8 for Scrubs. So
yeah. Yep.
Cause you said this is 2008, which means this is right after the writer's strike and everything. And
this is right there at the end. The final true season, I'm going to say, of Scrubs. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise then you get into all that med school bullshit and we all know how that plays out. And
I mean, I like med school, but I don't consider it part of the main show. It's a spinoff show. It's season 1 of a spinoff
Scrubs
show.
Fans don't consider it part of the main series, but at least acknowledge the show.
Oh, yeah. I actually, because I just rewatched it all recently. I actually really enjoyed watching the season. You know, there's some real good stuff in there, but that season 8 finale, that is the finale.
I'm going to run a season 8 quote by you, though. You ready for this? Yo, I'm Dane Cook. Why do people find me funny?
Nobody cares, Sean.
Nobody cares, Sean. He said good. All right.
It's true. All right, folks, so we're going to do things a little differently than we have done on previous seasons of the How I Met Your Mother side of this show, and we are changing up the format to kind of go more in line with what we had been doing with How I Met Your Father recently. So How I Met Your Faja. So we're going to be kind of breaking it down into the different storylines that are happening and kind of talking about it. Just kind of like having a free-flowing discussion about it instead of doing the beat-by-beat like we used to do. And I think it'll be more fun. We seem to have more fun on the How I Met Your Father side of things when we were doing it that way. So
I agree.
Yeah, we're giving that a shot.
We should help make a Dutch version of this called How I Met Your Faja.
How I Met Your Faja.
I don't speak Dutch.
Gonna have to learn. The Duolingo or fucking Rosetta Stone or you know, any of those. Babbel, is that another one?
Okay. So it's the current one that's going around that seems to work quick.
Okay. Well, there you go, folks. You can learn Dutch and you can translate for us. Just dub it.
Oh, man. There you go.
Be some random people dubbing over our voices. It'd be hilarious.
It would be, honestly.
somebody with like a real deep voice. And a real squeaky voice. That'd be good. I think that'd be
good. Oh, man, you're crazy sometimes, bro.
I know. All right. So this episode opens up with Future Ted telling his kids that the longest pause you'll ever experience is the one after you ask this simple question, will you marry me?
Listen, I love how he runs all these scenarios right here of, like, the possibilities of the answer. And my favorite one is when she's like, no, I can't marry you. I'm already engaged to your high school bully. Yeah.
Mark Johnson, the quarterback from his high school team. I wrote that down.
What's up, turd? It's Ted.
Yeah, there's some good ones there. And obviously, you know, all of the scenarios running through Ted's head involve her saying no.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty telling for how he thinks it's going to happen.
I mean, in a way, though, they show us what's going to happen, though, because in the end, she walks out on Ted.
She does.
And I mean, spoilers, again, if you're watching this and you haven't watched the show, please pause us, go to Hulu, start watching the show, and when you catch up to this point, unpause.
If you are this deep
Hold on, Josh, we're going to wait. We're going to wait for those few people.
That's fair. Maybe we'll run a commercial break. Who knows? You never know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Man, when I'm waiting for people to catch up on our show, I like to refresh in a nice cold beer.
Yep, you know what I'm saying, Josh? No rock star today.
No rock star today. And if it's not Labatt Blue, it's a good M&M to get my night going.
There you go. Looking, do I have anything? I don't.
Josh doesn't do advertising.
You know what, folks? If you wanna get yourself a hardcover book for only $5, join the Book of the Month Club. You can click the link in the description below. $5 for your first book. I'm putting that link
in. I'm fucking promoting alcohol and candy. Josh, like, pick up a good book lately?
I'm putting that link in the description, too. Gonna be good. All right, folks.
I mean, fuck yeah, dude.
All right, so then we jump to right where we left off at the end of season 3. So Ted and Stella, they're at the arcade. Ted has just proposed, and that's where we get through all that, the stuff that we were just talking about. I love when episodes do that, you know, we get that. It's happened a number of times with this show where it ends on that cliffhanger and it picks right up after that happens. I don't know, I'm a big fan of that. But you know, he may be imagining her saying no, but that's not what she says. She says yes.
She does say yes. And I think, honestly, I think out of like TV show proposals, this is probably one of my favorites, because you know, he doesn't have a ring at this point. He's got like a little stuffed bunny, and you know, they're sitting in an arcade.
It was an orange kangaroo, I remember.
It was an orange kangaroo.
Yeah.
You're right. But yeah, I love this little proposal. You know, it's an arcade and they're having fun, and it's kind of like Jim proposing to Pam at a gas station in the middle of a torrential downpour. Like,
yeah,
you know, how do you make it special per shows? Like, I mean, you've always got to come up with something new, something that's never been done before.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this one's
special, and they do a very good job at, not to spoil future storylines, but when the wedding bride comes around, they do a very good job at, like, the whole, he steals the little kangaroos, like, well, here, you want to get married?
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait till we get to that episode. It's going to be good times.
Jed Mosley.
So then they essentially skip past the whole summer. They do a real quick kind of montage of showing what everybody does for the summer. Ted and Stella, you know, they say they're happily engaged through the summer. Lily is focusing on her paintings, and Barney has to do rehab because he got hit by the bus. Yeah. And then we find out, you know, Marshall, he's still unemployed throughout this whole time.
Yeah, he keeps popping up into everybody else's part of the montage.
Everybody. What you doing? What you up to? What are you doing? I love the one when he goes to Barney's. What you doing? It's like, what do you think he's fucking doing?
Yeah, right? I love how Barney's like, what? Seriously?
And then when he does it to himself, when he's like putting tape all over his face. Have you ever done that?
No, but it reminds me of the one movie with Jim Carrey where he does it. Oh, yeah. He's got his face like really taped up.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? I noticed in this, Marshall really let his hair grow out.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite, like, well, you figure one of the last things he did was the fucking, he had, like, done the buzzers. That was a couple seasons ago, but, like.
But his hair was significantly shorter before.
This is definitely one of my favorite, like, Jason Segel looks. It's like, his hair is not super long, but it's not super short.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, I really liked it. And then we finally get to see a little bit of Robin. Because we hadn't seen her, they didn't say anything about her in this opener. But she's at work, and she, you know, she's anchoring. She got the anchor job at, you know, Metro News One and everything that she's been doing. But she's not enjoying her job.
Nope.
We can see that.
And I feel bad for her in this aspect because this takes me back to when she was like super unhappy doing like the buff pieces, and she was sneaking like little things into the broadcast. Mm-hmm. And I could see her doing it from here too, because like, you know, like. It's the whole tooth, like, you know, like, you know, stupid
and it
shit.
Only cost him a nipple.
Yes. I want you to slam it down, and then I want you to say these words.
It's very similar. Yeah, because she hated her job then doing that same type of stuff, you know, and it's pretty much happening again for her.
Pretty much. It's a vicious cycle.
It is. So at the bar, she tells this all to the gang and, you know, making the comment that she's the boogeyman with a teleprompter.
Yeah. And this, Barney starts laughing.
He can't control himself, man.
And I love Lily because Lily's like, well, what are you laughing at? And he's like, that joke.
Yeah.
Boogeyman with a teleprompter. And then, like, I love how he tries to cover it where he's like, oh, the joke is like everything you'd want. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I wrote it down. I wrote the line out. He says, smart, funny, beautiful, the whole package is everything you're afraid to let yourself want in a joke. And it's like obvious to the audience, at least. I mean, unless you're not paying any attention, really, that there's a lot more happening here.
Oh yeah, I mean, you'd have to be an idiot not to realize he was talking about something. Well, Robin, I mean, talking about Robin.
Yeah, and I mean, they teased it in the finale.
And it's unlike Barney. It's uncharacteristic for Barney to be like that.
It is. But they teased it, you know, in the finale when he gives her that look. You know, there's a little bit of a tease earlier on in the season after they slept together. Things were a little, you know, weird there. But they're finally starting to move into that whole thing here, which is interesting. And we get a lot more of it later on.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So now this is where everything breaks down. We're going to do like I said, what we do in the How I Met Your Father ones. We start breaking things down. We have the Barney, Lily, and Robin storyline. And then we have the Ted, Stella, and Marshall storyline. So which would you like to cover first, my friend?
I want to talk about Ted, Stella, and Marshall.
All right, man. Let's do it.
So in the flavor of the way we kind of do everything else. So this part of the storyline deals with Ted liking Star Wars and trying to figure out Stella because he feels like he doesn't know Stella enough.
But they find this out because Marshall's like trying to figure out like a wedding or like a wedding shower gift at these days. And he's just like asking like random questions, you know, like, does she like to cook? What's her favorite color? And Ted has no idea about any of these.
Does she have any hobbies? Yes. Yeah. She's the total kind of person who have hobbies.
I love that.
And I love where Marshall's like, well, she's a Mets fan. And
he's like, she is?
She is? Like, how does Marshall know this and you don't? Like,
yeah, exactly. And Ted doesn't even know the color of her eyes.
Oh, no. He knows. They're the color of a sky after the storm.
I wrote this out because actually I didn't realize this at first until I was looking up stuff because it's been a while since I've seen the movie that this references. But the line is, it's the color of the ocean after a storm. And this is a slightly changed version of the line from The Princess Bride, where Buttercup describes Wesley's eyes as like the sea after a storm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, so here's the thing that makes me laugh. It's like Ted really goes out of his way to like, I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to make her dinner.
Yeah.
And like, it makes me laugh because I'm like, it's a Ted thing to do. He wants to impress this girl. So he pulls out all the fucking stops, make this amazing meal.
Yeah.
And then he's like, bet you can't guess what's in it. And she's like, peanuts. And he's like, yeah.
How'd you know?
She just falls the fuck over. Here's the thing that doesn't sit well with me. When I first start to meet somebody, I'm going to cook them dinner. One of the first questions I ask, is there anything you don't like or that you're allergic to?
Well, it's obviously, that's the whole problem here, is that Ted doesn't seem to, he doesn't communicate, but like I was about to say he doesn't seem to care enough to ask, but I don't know if that's quite the what's going on. It's just, I think he's too into himself almost to like, he feels like he already knows everything, but he doesn't, you know what I mean? And that's a Ted thing.
He's just super happy to be where he is with somebody.
Yeah.
Because right now this is Ted like running a 10K, he's at like 9.5 kilometers.
Yeah.
He knows that final stretch is coming, and all he did to get there was jump in a cab and take a ride.
It's true. Yeah. It got hit by a... Got into an accident. So I was listening to the commentary for this episode, and I found out that this actually happened to one of the writers.
No shit.
At a wedding, to the writer Jamie Ronheimer. We've covered some of her episodes before, and we're going to be covering a lot more into the future. But apparently, very similar thing. It was they got the pesto. She got the pesto, but she had asked apparently if there was peanuts in it, and they said no, and apparently there was.
Oh damn!
Yeah, so
I was sued.
That's where they took this from, which I thought was, real life makes for some of the most funny things sometimes.
Well, and I love it because like so they obviously do it. She has the reaction. They show the ambulance, which I'm hoping she at least had an EpiPen on her. Like, I'm hoping, like...
I think if you're that allergic to something like peanuts, you probably do just all times.
Sarah didn't always keep an EpiPen with her, and she was definitely allergic to peanuts.
That's asking for death. I mean, because you never know what could happen.
100%.
Right? Yeah. That's I knew a girl who couldn't even be in her room. Like, if you opened up, like a bag of peanuts in the room, she had to leave.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
It's crazy stuff, man. It's crazy stuff.
I
like that they just kind of jump past all the hospital stuff.
Oh, I mean, nobody wants to see Scrubs.
Plus, the finale, we spent most of the time in the damn hospital.
That is true as well.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, let's move on past the hospital.
Not going to lie, though. It would have been really funny if they'd have done it here where, like, they take her to the hospital and all of a sudden it's like John Dorian walks in and he's like, what seems to be the problem here?
That would have been a great crossover. Like, you look really familiar.
I don't know. Doesn't she look like Elliot?
I think it would have been a really cool kind of crossover thing.
So, I do like that they brush over it. They go back. They're at the apartment. And now they're having the get-to-know-you conversation with, like, 20 questions.
Yeah.
And I love how she, like, she fucks with Ted a little bit here. Like, he's asking stupid questions. Like, first kiss. Nobody wants to know first kiss. Nobody wants to know first hookup. That's how jealousy and stupidity comes out of it.
Though I do like that they go back and reference Ted's first time with Molly McKenzie in junior year, because we had seen that already.
Yeah.
We saw that in the first time in New York episode. So I thought that was a nice way to tie that back in.
Oh yeah.
Because Ted never actually answers the first question about the first kiss.
No, he doesn't.
But he answers that one because we've already seen it. So like, I just thought it was a nice way for them to be like, yeah, remember that?
Yeah. But then they start talking about movies, and her favorite movie is Benji. And I love what she says here. You know, I watched it recently with Lucy, and I started thinking to myself, man, that dog is so dead right dead. Now.
Right?
And I'm thinking to myself, like, have you never thought that watching Lassie or, like, any of those other movies, like Babe?
Like, true. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I watch movies like that with Kal-El, and I'm like, we watched Land Before Time a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if you know this or not, but the little girl who voiced Ducky.
Ducky.
The little girl who voiced Ducky's father killed her when she was, like, six.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't stand the fact that she had become, like, such a celebrity.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's so heartbreaking, man.
Yeah, but then you go back and you watch Land Before Time, and I remember just being an innocent movie about five dinosaurs going on an adventure. But now it's like I watch Littlefoot's grandfather die, it's his mom dies. And like Tree Star and The Journey, and then I'm just like, man, that's a really fucking heartbreaking movie. And as kids, we were like, can we watch Land Before Time, Mom? Can we watch it?
Well, if you think about it, like especially animated movies when we were kids, there was a lot of death in those movies.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. Like, that was a story-driving thing that they just did all the time. Like, let's kill the parent.
Right?
Let's kill one of the parents. Like, they did that. Or
let's kill one of the characters because, like, Fox and the Hound.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, fuck, man. Like...
Yeah, man.
Or what's the Neverending Story with the horse?
Oh my god!
And it's like, Jesus fuck, man! Like, how many times can they just do this shit to kids? And then they wonder why our generation grew up to be like, oh, it's death. Somebody died. Okay, cool.
That's why, you know, emo became a thing when it did.
Yeah.
I mean, really think about it.
It's like, you want to take this gun? Here, okay, just shoot me. Go ahead.
It don't matter.
but then so she loves Benji, and then this is where I want to have a side conversation with you, because I realized something. Well, it's not until a little bit later, but I'm going to run this here to get it out of the way. Ted says he loves Star Wars, which we all know Ted is a huge fucking Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. And I have no problems with that. But, and this is, like I said, I'm going to jump a little bit out of the line because we're going to get there soon anyway. But because of this, Ted gets Stella to watch Star Wars. And then after she watches it, she tells Marshall she hates the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which Marshall's response to that is Ted watches it when he's sick, when he's homesick, when he's down. So that breaks the continuity of the three-year rule. Because Ted says he only watches that movie every 3 years, and that's in season 7.
Does he say that he only watches it every 3 years, or that they only watch
it? Well, they only watch it, but the way they make it sound in that episode,
because it's a bonding thing where the three of them have to watch it every 3 years,
maybe,
you know what I mean, at minimum. That's the only thing, maybe, I can think of. Yeah,
okay. So then, side question to this conversation is, is there a movie that you could watch that many times and not tire of it?
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of movies that I'm like that with. I can just throw it on, you know, obviously, you know, some of my favorites, like Gone in 60 Seconds. Jurassic Park. Easy A is a movie that I could watch over and over again. The Wedding Singer. I literally, in high school, watched that movie every day before bed for like 2 months straight.
I remember that.
You know what? Another good one that anytime it was on, even if it was in the middle of it, I'd sit down and watch it, was Fun with Dick and Jane, the one with Jim Carrey. Love that movie. It's so good.
So I'm gonna out myself here during our recording. I have one movie specifically that I can watch like that, and it's a little harder to watch now because my mom passed away, but you know what movie I can go to, and it doesn't matter how many times I've watched it, I'm still going to watch it over and over again?
What?
Dirty Dancing.
That's fair.
I can honestly, without embellishing a number, I can say that I have seen that movie somewhere close to 200 and some odd times in my life.
Wow.
My mom had that movie recorded and on a VHS back when people used to... Back before you could go to Blockbuster and rent movies, your parents would buy blank VCR tapes. And if you don't know what a VCR tape is, call your mom and ask her. She'll know. And if she doesn't, call your grandma or your grandpa, they'll know. And I'm not talking about Betamax. That's a whole other conversation. We're talking about like actual VCR tapes.
Yeah, VHS, baby.
My mom had Dirty Dancing recorded on like two because she'd burnt through one. But, you know, you can record, like, depending on how you recorded these movies, you could record up to, like, 2 to 3 movies on a tape.
Yeah, you could get up to 6 hours.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a good point where, like, Dirty Dancing was on a loop because my mom was Swayze crazy.
Yeah.
Like, she loved Swayze. She was like, and you asked Josh, I have my own Dirty Dancing collection now in my DVD collection, which consists of Dirty Dancing, Ghosts, Point Break, Roadhouse.
Yep, Roadhouse, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, Roadhouse is just classic, and I was a bouncer, so I mean...
It's true.
If you don't own that, do you even do your job right? So, I mean, yeah, I get where Ted's coming from, and I wanted to ask you about it, because I'm like, it just seems like a stretch in the continuity, but I guess if you explain it like that, it makes more sense. And
yeah, I think it was more of a them thing as opposed to a Ted thing. Yeah.
I can't imagine watching Star Wars that many times, though.
Oh, as many times as they're claiming Ted does?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've watched it a lot, but not that much.
So, one last quick story before we get back to the story, because this is kind of where we're going with this anyway. So, last night we were supposed to record.
Yeah.
We had technical difficulties. We couldn't record. I ended up turning on the TV, and I ended up going on Vudu. Take a wild guess what I ended up watching last night.
Was it a Star Wars?
No.
Oh,
no, it wasn't. But it was. I'll tell you this. It's one of the recently added collections. Do you remember what one of the recently added collections was?
I don't, honestly. Superman.
Specifically, though, I went and watched Superman 3.
Oh, wow. Interesting choice.
It was an interesting choice.
Richard Pryor action?
The Richard Pryor one with the big computer and the stupid... But I watched it because... I love the big fight between good and evil, the Barney and, you know, Canadian thing that happens later. And I was just like, man, but let me tell you, because when I was watching them as a kid, watched them again off VHS,
yeah. You get
such shitty quality.
Mm-hmm.
Now as an adult, I'm rewatching them and I'm seeing things that you don't see.
Plus when we were kids, the TVs were like, maybe a 20-inch,
yeah,
maybe like, a 27 if you had the money for it.
Like, there's a scene where he's flying and one of the kids is yelling at him after, like, he's bad Superman. And you can see them doing, like, the echo look into his ear.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, shit, I never noticed that. Or, like, me and you had this conversation, like, about 6-7 months ago. I sent you that they added Nuclear Man into the comics.
Oh, yeah.
And I told you, I didn't realize that Nuclear Man's costume consisted of black and gold. I thought it was, like, naked in the sides.
Oh,
because
gotcha.
As a kid, the quality of my video was shitty. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I thought it was a really risky choice for a fucking costume, but made sense considering Mark Pillow was fucking jacked.
Yep. Nope, it wasn't.
So, yeah.
But now you can see it far more clear.
And now I know he's just not swinging his schlong around.
There it is, folks. So just like with the peanut incident, this Star Wars thing, you know, having your significant other have never seen it and being like, if I can't marry her if she doesn't like this movie, happened to another one of the writers on the show.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, Matt Coon, who we've covered his stuff.
I was going to say, we've talked about that name before.
Yeah, so they're just taking stuff from real life, and I love that.
I mean, write what you know, that's what they say.
It's true. And so after she, you know, tells Ted this, we flash over to the bar, and Marshall, he cannot believe this news, and he has a great fucking line here.
This line right here is iconic, and I have seen people use this 100,000 times.
Yeah, and I wrote it down exactly because I wanted to make sure I got it right. The only people in the universe who haven't seen Star Wars are the characters in Star Wars, and that's because they've lived them, Ted. That's because they've lived the Star Wars. It's such, the way he does it is such a great, this episode and the next episode, he has great lines in.
Oh, he is amazing. I mean, I don't know who specifically tries to write for Jason Segel on this show. Because, like, I know, like, series writers, like, have different, but whoever writes for Jason is just, it's phenomenal.
Well,
it's,
both, this episode and the next one are Carter and Craig. And so, fair. They're putting out some good stuff.
They're putting out banger after banger.
It's true. But, you know, Marshall is worried that she won't like it. And as we already mentioned, he's right, you know. His worry is right.
But, I mean, it's fair, though, because, like, how many times have you used a like with a movie as, like, a catalyst to talk to somebody? And then, like, somebody's like, oh, I don't like that movie. You're just like, scum.
I mean... If I'm like chatting with a girl and she's like, I hate Jurassic Park or something like that, I'm like, I don't know if I can talk to you. Like, sorry, man.
I love that Jurassic Park outweighs like Gone in 60 Seconds. Well, like, childish.
Here's the thing. I feel like far less people even know what Gone in 60 Seconds is.
Listen, you know what would be really funny?
But if you don't like Jurassic Park, I don't know if I can be friends with you.
just picture this one. You're into like a speed dating thing, and the girl's like, "Oh, what's your all time favorite movie?" And you're like, "Gone in 60 Seconds." And she's like, "Oh, you mean that shitty wannabe in The Fast and the Furious?" And you're just like,
"Next." can we ding the bell?
check, please.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But Ted, you know, he keeps kind of like downplaying. He's like, you know, it's just a movie. It's just a movie. But then him and Marshall sit down and watch it, and his complete tune just changes. He's like, so Stella doesn't like this. I can't marry her.
Here's my next question, though. So at this point, it's 2008, okay?
Yeah.
Which movie did they watch? There's four.
Well, he said they were watching the original.
Oh, so they were watching A New Hope.
Yeah. They were watching the first one. Because that's the one that's his all-time favorite.
Yeah. It's a horrible one to like, man. Like,
no, it's not.
Empire, man. Empire is,
in my opinion, yes, the better film. But
I stand by it.
Yeah.
Empire has the better ending. Luke gets his hand cut off, finds out Vader's his father. Han gets frozen in carbonite. It ends on such a down note.
It's true. It's very true.
That's what life is, a series of down notes.
It is. So Ted and Stella, they then sit down to watch Star Wars. And I noticed something. At this point, Stella's wearing a purple sweater.
Yeah, I caught that. And I was like, damn, man. I'm like, I know that the yellow-purple thing is just a fan theory.
I mean, it fits, though.
It doesn't not fit. Like, there is a lot of coincidence with purple-yellow.
There is a yellow instance in the other side of the story.
Oh, you caught it too?
Yeah, and I'm like, they both line up perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So even if it is just a fan theory, somehow it worked out in so many ways.
Sometimes it's unintentionally done, man. You know the old saying, like, certain colors work better on screen.
That's true. It's true. And I do wonder if, like, if subconsciously the wardrobe people were doing that.
I mean, that would be, you know, that would, like, be crazy.
Just subconsciously, oh, you know, it's kind of a, there's a bit of a down moment, and they just subconsciously slap some purple in there. Or it's gonna be, oh, there's a high moment, a happy moment. They're gonna slap a little yellow in there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's like the episode of Scrubs where janitor gets the new jumpsuit. And it's not a jumpsuit, it's a shirt and pants, because who would wear a belt with a jumpsuit?
Shirt, pant combo, yep.
But it's like, you know, Ted gets the tie, and he can't understand why people keep punching him, because his tie is that burnt Sienna orange, and it instills hostility on people.
Yeah.
And it's like certain colors bring upon certain emotion in your mind, so you see it, and you're like, oh no.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. But, yeah, I love how Ted is trying to act all nonchalant about the movie and everything. But, like, it's just a movie. You know, it's cool. You know, we're going to watch this. And then it starts and the crawl starts happening. And she gets up to go get a beer. And he's like, but it's starting. And she's like, it's just a bunch of words flying through space. I'm not going to read that. And I'm just like,
here's the thing,
red flag, man.
Well, here's the thing that, as a Star Wars fan, I'm going to admit this. I don't think I've ever read the crawl to most of the movies.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I understand, like, the crawl's, like, an important part. It's, like, filling in gaps and stuff.
Yeah, it sets up everything.
I honestly, most of the time, like, I know I read at least the first three, and I think maybe Phantom Menace, but I don't know if I've ever read a crawl after that.
Oh, I've read them all. I don't remember them, but I've read them all. I read them every time because, again, I don't remember them word for word or anything like that.
It's fair.
But, yeah, I mean, the fact that she's just like, oh, I just don't care enough and I'm going to get up and leave, not even try.
Well, also, like, that's why would you have grabbed a beer before the movie started?
That, too. It's like,
I mean, because essentially you're saying that even though, like, it doesn't matter if it's a movie Ted loves or hates, he chose a movie to sit down and watch with you, and you're saying, oh, this movie's not important.
Yeah, that's 100%. That's what she is saying. And it's not until she realizes how important this movie is to Ted that she even tries, because she wasn't going to try.
No, I mean, she was going to try to jump him on the couch, man. Like, she's like, I'm losing wood over here. And I'm like, first off, like, literally just like two episodes ago, you're all like, oh, you're telling people that we haven't had sex? Oh, I'm going to withhold on you, motherfucker. Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. She did do that. But yeah, like, she just... Also, Marshall hiding behind the couch.
Yeah. So here's my thing. So I've seen enough horror movies to know you always look behind the, you know, your backseat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Marshall is like a 6'2", 6'3".
He's
not a small guy.
He's a tall...
Neither of them see him behind the couch?
I don't know. Especially because, like, did they at no point go into his room at all? Into Ted's room at all? Did Ted never go into the room?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's just a weird one. Like,
yeah.
It's off to a bad start, Ted. He's like, oh!
I love it when he does it the second time to Stella. And
it scares Stella, yeah. But see, I have an issue with that, though, because, I mean, we're about there anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay, so she finally is like, okay, well, if I'm going to watch this movie, I'm going to watch this movie. You go to your room.
Yeah.
Ted goes to his room. He's watched this movie so many times, he knows right where they are.
Yeah.
He literally just gets to his room as Marshall pops up and goes, should I go too? Scares her, she screams, and Ted comes out and goes, what part? You should know what part, you dumbass.
Yeah, you literally just went in to the... But maybe it's more of a, what is specifically were you screaming at?
I mean, that's most likely what it was, but it's just the wording.
Yeah, no, I get that. I just love the popcorn fly and everyone.
I love, like, a couple minutes later when, like, they're in the room and, like, Marshall's listening with the glass.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're at the part where they just escaped from the trash compactor. And Ted's like, great scene. And Marshall's like,
great scene.
Like, yeah. Me and you. So, okay.
Like, Ted didn't say the word great hard enough for,
right?
For him.
Do you mind if I tell one of our inside movie jokes, like our preview joke?
Sure.
So Josh and I have this thing that if we go to see a movie together And I don't remember why this tradition started. Oh, it was a Dane Cook
skit. It was a Dane Cook skit, yeah.
And we sit down to the trailers, and the first trailer that always plays, doesn't matter how great it could be, doesn't matter if it's the worst trailer we've ever seen, one of us turns to the other one and says, fucking lame.
Fucking lame.
Like, we have seen some amazing trailers be the first one up there, and we got to be like, fucking lame.
It's a great tradition, like, though.
I love this because this is what it reminds me of. Mm-hmm. Because, like, he's like, great scene. He's like, great scene.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's okay. I think I'm going to say it this way. Family Guy did it better.
Oh, snap.
I mean, they steal a couch.
They do steal a couch.
Who took the couch away? You know what? I'm going to take this. But, so I love that, like, he's like, okay, we should have heard, like, her be like, huh. And we didn't. Yeah. And Ted's like, I'm going to look. And as soon as he opens the door, and not quietly, I might add.
Oh, yeah.
He just, like, rips the fucking door open, and she's like.
Yep, he just gets on, like, her phone.
She's texting. And then the phone dings. I'm like, you dumbass, you didn't see that coming?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Of course not. Why would he have seen that coming?
I know. But then, you know, a few more moments pass by, and she comes in the room, and she's like, okay, I finished it. I loved it. And Ted's like,
Ted's like, oh, I have a hot girl, and she loves Star Wars. That's the dream. Yeah. He does that's the dream here. And it got me, it put me down a little rabbit hole. I was like, who says that the most? Is it really Barney?
It is Barney.
I found a video of all of the That's the Dream in the whole show. I'll put it in the description. I'll put the link to the
video. Okay, so who says it the most?
I do think it's Barney, but, like, at the beginning, over the first three seasons, it happened a lot, and I don't remember catching most of them.
No, honestly, neither do I, to be honest.
It's just kind of thrown in there. Yeah, and, like, as I rewatched, I'm like, oh, shit, they did say that there. They, you know, yeah. It's,
well, because I remember one crazy last season, because Barney's like, that's the dream. He's like, really? That's what you're going to go with? That's the dream.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And he's like, so not this or that. This is the dream. And Barney's like, yep.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And, like, pretty much everybody says it at some point.
Throughout the series.
So. Yeah, it's I'll put it in the show notes. You guys can check out that YouTube video of it. It's pretty cool.
Well, I love Ted's talk to past Ted, 14-year-old Ted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what a dumbass. You
masturbating little bastard.
and like, this is happening in front of his current fiance. Mm. And I'm like, man, you are digging yourself a hole, you Star Wars loving bastard. However, though, there is a really funny... Ted's, like, super excited, runs out of the room because he's going to pop some champagne.
Yeah,
which, by the way, who just fucking has champagne on standby?
I mean, I don't know, but...
That's a little bit of a flexing away.
Yeah, I don't know, because unless he got it, knowing he was going to show her the movie in hopes that she would like it...
Maybe.
Other than that, yeah, it's just, like, kind of a random thing to have. Granted... Like, I still have a bottle of champagne, an unopened bottle of champagne, technically.
Fair enough. You got the bubbly.
Yeah, I got the bubbly. But,
La bubbly.
That's just because I wanted to keep it.
But there's a great line that happens right here. And I always love this line. And I've used this line when I'm picking on Star Wars. And I don't do it a lot. But I love how Ted runs out of the room and Marshall's like, you hated it. She's like, I hated it. She's like, you know, and, like, her first instance is Chewbacca. You know, he's like, and, like, she doesn't even do a really good.
She calls him Bear.
Bear. Well, and that's the thing. Like, she does a shitty Chewbacca thing, and they're like, she goes, and then they're like, that's right, Bear.
That's right,
Bear. And I'm like, first, and I look how instantly Marshall's just like, first off, they're much smarter than they appear.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't have to defend, like...
He gets real defensive about those Wookiees, man.
But that line right there, that's right, Bear.
That's right, Bear. Oh, it's so funny.
Oh, man.
And then Marshall, this is where Marshall explains just how we talked about it before. Yeah. just how important this whole thing is and asks her, you know, can you pretend to like this movie that you hate for the rest of your life? And she can't. She says, I do. Yeah, I do think I can do that. So, I mean, she's in. Well, at this point, she's in. Doesn't completely go there.
She'd be all in.
She'd be all in, man.
She's going to splash the pot.
She's going to splash the pot.
I love that me and you just have conversations and throw, like, random tidbits from other movies and genres in.
It's true. Okay, so that wraps up the Ted, Stella, and Marshall portion of the episode. And now we've got the Barney, Lily, and Robin portion of the episode. And so, as I said before, I watched the commentary for this. And apparently, Craig and Carter knew that they wanted to eventually get Barney and Robin together ever since season one.
Oh.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. They're like, we've known ever since season one that we've wanted them at some point to get together. We didn't know it would happen.
That is interesting, though, because I wouldn't have ever guessed that.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. So I figured I'd mention that. So,
well, I love how this one starts out with Lily coming over at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then he, like, this whole storyline plays out relatively fast but funny, because, like, it's the shorter of the two storylines. And I just love how Barney's like, you know, I'm in love with Robin. And Lily's not like, oh, okay. And then he can't show that emotion. Like, Barney, and I know that it gets discussed a lot, like, later seasons, because, you know, Barney's father obviously wasn't in the picture, and his mom had an unhealthy obsession with men. Yeah. James turns out to be gay. Barney doesn't know who his dad is, like, multiple times until, like, he finally finds Jerry. But, like, Barney has so many little hiccups to him that sometimes it's easy to overlook and think of him as just, because he says it himself, Robin looks at him as a womanizer.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to think of that. Maybe he's not just a womanizer. Maybe there's a deeper rooted issue in there where Barney's afraid of commitment.
Oh, 100%. And, I mean, look, they talked a little bit about this on the commentary, and I hadn't really thought about it too hard until they said it, but he has not been in a serious relationship since the hippie girl.
Yeah.
Name I can't. And she broke his fucking heart.
Was it Sharon or Shannon?
Shannon. And she broke his fucking heart.
Oh, yeah.
And drove him to become the Barney that he is now. So it makes total sense. He's like, nah, fuck all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I can attest to that. Like, I'm not Barney level bad, but I have my moments.
Yeah, I mean, that happens.
But I mean, like, it's just, it's crazy to think that, like, he goes down the path he does in this, especially this season. Barney goes through a lot of growth in this season, because, like, this is him realizing that he has this feelings for Robin. It's not just like, oh, Robin's my friend. It's, I love Robin.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do anything I can to.
Yeah, it's not just, I want to nail Robin. It's, I want to be.
I mean, listen, in 2008, who didn't want to nail Robin Scherbatsky?
It's true. I mean, he already did. So, like, it's not just about that for him anymore, which is so different for him.
Yeah. I mean, and it's weird, too, because, like, for us, from, like, 2007, 2008, and watching the series, because, like, we were 23 at this point. No, 24.
Yeah, at this point, yeah, 24.
So we were at that point where, like, these people aren't much older than us. Yeah. So, like, looking at, you know, Colby Smothers, I'm like, she's a beautiful woman.
No, absolutely.
You know? And then I'm going to take this a step further. And ladies and gentlemen, spoilers. So if you haven't watched Secret Invasion, skip ahead for like a few minutes and then, you know, you're safe. But watching Colby Smothers join the Marvel Universe, I was like, oh shit. Like, she's really matured as an actress. Like, damn, Colby Smothers is hot. Like, wow, where did the fuck did Robin Scherbatsky go? Because in my mind, anytime I'd see Colby Smothers, it's the same with Allison Hannigan. Anytime I see Allison Hannigan, I always think Michelle from American Pie.
Yeah.
So when I started seeing Maria Hill appear in Marvel Universe, even though she only makes a handful of appearances, I'm always like, oh shit, this chick's fucking badass. And I don't think of Robin like that. So seeing it, it's different.
Yeah.
And then Secret of Agent comes around and fucking ruins it all. You piece of shit. I'm mad at Disney.
I mean, we already knew that she was a Skrull at some point because, was it the end of the Spider-Man movie? Whichever one. It revealed that both her and Nick were.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Because I haven't watched Secret Invasion.
I know you haven't, which is why I decided not to spoil
it. I was going
to
say, if it's that she's a Skrull, I'm like, well, they already revealed that a while back.
Spoilers, bro. Marie Hope dies.
Oh, well, wait, is it her or is it the Skrull?
No, it's her.
Okay.
And it's legit her.
Okay.
Like, episode one capped right in front of Nick Fury. Pop! She's dead.
And they show her dead body?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, like, legitimately...
I'm just saying, because I know that the Skrulls turn back into Skrulls.
Skrulls turn back into Skrulls and bleed purple, yeah.
That's why I was, like, saying, yeah. Did they show her?
And okay. they make a big deal about it with, like, her mother even, like, being, like, in Nick Fury's face at one point, and she's like, you're the reason my daughter's dead.
Shit. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like, it pissed off so many fans, because, you know, it's Nick Fury's right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And they let her fall into such a basic trap where it's like...
Well, I mean, they did the same thing to Coulson, so...
I know.
It's just
but then they pumped him full of Kree blood, and he was okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't... fucking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ain't... I don't care what anybody says. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not in the continuity.
No, not until they actually make a continuity.
It contradicts stuff later on in the series.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, in the later seasons, it contradicts stuff.
We'll do an After Hours about all of that. Back to the main point.
Yeah.
Robert Scherbatsky is hot.
It's true. It's true. And yeah.
That's where I was going with that.
Barney is in love with her. And Lily's kind of floored by this. And she has this great line here where she says, I thought you called me over here to uncuff you from your sex swing again.
Again.
And that's what got me and made me really like that line. Because it's like, that's a true friend right there.
That is a true friend.
And she was willing to come over and do it again.
It's 7:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of it where I'm like, well, at least, like, I mean, good friends, you know, they don't ask questions. They just show up and help you.
It's true. It's very true.
Here's the real question. If I called you at 7:30 in the morning, would you take the 3-hour drive to help me?
I mean, depending on what the help was, because a 3-hour drive is a long drive.
I mysteriously somehow was at the top of a stairwell, slipped out of a banana peel, fell down him, and there's a bone sticking out of my leg.
I mean, I'll come, but I think I would probably call an ambulance for you first.
I'll try to stand up. Nope, the bone is through the skin. It's beginning to smell like almonds.
Oh, man.
I love this scene, though, because I love how Barney describes, like... Because she's like, well, if you want to be Robin's boyfriend, he's like, oh, whoa. I don't want to be Robin's boyfriend.
Yeah, Barney views this whole thing as like almost like a disease. Like, oh,
I don't want to catch it.
Yeah, like it's completely the opposite of what like a normal person would feel.
But there's a spot right here that I don't know if you catch this or not. She asks Barney what he wants, and he like, throws himself forward and like leans on the counter and he's like bent to this like weird angle.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I just want to talk to her all day and be with her and this and that.
Apparently the position, the leaning like that, where he, like his legs are all weirdly straight.
I guess that was a Neil thing.
That was all Neil. Yeah. Yep. That was a Neil.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. They talked about that because they loved it too, apparently.
I mean, and that's the thing though. There are things that Neil does is just being Neil. And it's like, it brings so much depth to who Barney is. Because
he's an incredible, like, physical actor.
Very.
The thing that we're literally talking about is a great, great instance of that. It's like, he does these weird, random things that most people wouldn't think to do, and they're just hilarious.
I'll propose this question to you at this point, because you said it in a way that I like it. And I don't hear that term thrown out very often, and it's physical actor, people who don't mind doing shit. on three, name the greatest physical actor of all time. And if it's not Chris Farley, explain why.
It is Chris Farley.
100%.
Oh, 100. Yeah, absolutely. It's Chris
that Farley. Dude did some crazy physical stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it was ahead of its time. Like, mm-hmm. people told him, slow down, you're going to hurt yourself. And he was just like, ah, it's funny.
I remember it's Beverly Hills Ninja. There's a scene where he jumps out the, like, slap yes. wall
and
window thing.
He talks
thing.
About hitting the 2x4.
And he hits the, yeah, and knocked himself out in the scene. It's like, man, the crazy stuff that he would do, throw himself through tables and stuff. Just like the scene in, I think it's the Tommy Boy, where he just, like, face plants through a table, through a, like a coffee table. That's just, that's just him doing it, man. No stunts, no stunt doubles for that guy. He's just crazy.
Ain't nobody like Farley.
Yeah, never will be either, man.
But yeah, so Barney's in a pickle here.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel bad for him because this is rare form Barney we're getting. Like, this is legit. Like, you only see it a few instances in this show. But I realized something else that I'm going to stop here because I wanted to get to this point before I prefaced it and, like, paralleled something.
Okay.
So there's two major episodes that deal with the love of Star Wars and love. It's this episode and the trilogy episode, which is in season 7.
Yeah.
And at that time, Ted's doing his thing. He's engaged. Marshall and Lily are doing their thing. Barney's in love with Robin in the first one. And then in the second one, Ted's single. And he's struggling. Is he ever going to find Mrs. Wright? Blah, 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 blah. And then, or no, who is it? Because this is so-and-so. But, it's Karen, right?
No, I don't think so.
Or is it that he's just single?
No, I think he's just single. Because every time they kept showing it...
Or no, he's with Robin in his fantasy.
Yeah, it's Robin that he keeps
it is.
Seeing.
It's Robin in his fantasy. Because then it's Marshall and Lily, and Lily's pregnant.
Yeah.
And then
Barney just keeps having random girls.
Until the last one, and then it's Quinn.
Yeah.
And they're like, and then we'll be seeing lots more, or we'll never see her again. He goes, no, I love Quinn. And I realized... This is a nice parallel episode.
Yeah.
You know, you get this early season where, like, it's the Star Wars, this is important to Ted, and in that it's important to Ted because it's a trilogy and they got to keep the tradition alive, and then there's the whole love parallel. And I was like, man, that's a really great nod back to this episode.
Hey, man, Star Wars brings love.
But does it?
I think so.
I mean, Anakin kills Padme.
I didn't say all Star Wars. Love.
I mean, you're right. Luke found love. He kisses Leia.
He kisses his sister. It's cool.
He kisses his sister. But, I mean, he doesn't know it's his sister. So, I mean.
It's true. Does that make it wrong or not?
I mean, listen. There you're drawing semantics and you're pulling at straws. I'm just saying. If you go your entire life not knowing you have a sister out there and you end up, like, kissing her and, like, doing something, is it your fault? No. You didn't know she existed.
That's fair. That's fair.
And, I mean, then the scruffy fucking nerf herder shows up and he steals her away anyway.
Yes. Yes, he
She's
does.
She's all like, oh, hon, I love you. And he's like, I know.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so... even though Barney isn't,
I sidetracked you. You're like fucking that scruffy nerf herder.
He's still banging random women, and like we see that like a woman comes out.
Yeah.
And Lily's like, "What are you doing?" Yeah, she punches him a few times in this episode.
Oh yeah, deservingly though.
Oh yeah, and she doesn't understand like how he could claim to be in love but still be sleeping around. And. And it got me thinking, like, I have an answer for this. He doesn't want to be in love with Robin.
That's fair.
Barney does not want to be in love. He doesn't want to be her boyfriend, even though he loves her and wants to be there. He doesn't want that feeling in him. You know what I mean? He's feeling it.
You're
he
right.
He can't
he wants
help
it in her.
He can't help but feel these feelings for her, but he doesn't want them.
Well,
and so and I feel it. Like what he's doing.
How to handle these feelings.
He's trying to almost like act like everything's normal. Everything's just like business as usual. I'm going to go off and bang these chicks and maybe it'll get me past all of these feelings that I don't want to have. And it's almost like a little bit of self-sabotage kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, no, 100% that makes sense. Cause I mean, you're 100% correct. I'm not even going to argue that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, you know, it got me, I watched this episode 3 times. I'm like, it just got me thinking about it all.
Well, and I feel bad for Barney because, again, though, being as dysfunctional as he is because of how broken he is, he doesn't know how to handle these feelings he's having.
No, he does not. And so and he's the kind of guy who's like, I would rather ignore it and just go, you know, as he calls them bimbos, go bang some bimbos, rather than deal with these things that I'm feeling that I don't know how to deal with.
100%. I mean, listen, we've all not dealt with our emotions correctly.
That's an understatement, but yes.
I mean, yeah, I'm just going to stop there and just say,
I'm sure most people have had those moments in their life. So, and so then they jump over to Robin at work again. And she's talking about this news story about, an ice cream man, with a roving meth lab, as they say. And it's an obvious reference to Breaking Bad, right? Because the show had just come out earlier that year.
Oh.
This traveling meth lab. You know, that was the whole thing about Breaking Bad, especially in that first season, was the Winnebago.
I didn't get that reference. I just figured New York City. I mean, Buffalo literally has ice cream trucks that drive around and sell drugs. So to me, I didn't see it being out of the ordinary.
I feel like it has to have been a Breaking Bad reference. Like I said, simply for the fact that that show debuted January of 2008.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't start writing these episodes until after that because there was the writer's strike and they hadn't even finished writing all of season 3.
Wow.
And so like they had obviously hadn't written season 4 yet. You know.
So Breaking Bad reference in How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, I 100%
that makes them a shared universe.
Well, I mean, I don't think that they're saying, oh hey, it's the same thing.
Oh no. Hypothetically in my head.
This
now,
is an ice cream truck that she's talking about, whereas it was an RV. Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying like a meth lab inside of a vehicle, you know, under a big vehicle. I think they were making reference to Breaking Bad here without being super obvious about
it. They're going to be in the same universe anyway because Bob Odenkirk is in the show. Yeah,
that's true. I mean, no, that doesn't matter because you got New Girl and Brooklyn Nine-Nine are the same universe and Damon Wayans Jr. is in both those shows.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Clemenza Wallace in both of those?
No, but so is Winston's girlfriend, Allie.
Oh.
She plays Jake's sister.
So, interesting thing I found out the other day. Did you know that The Office and Parks and Rec were supposed to be spinoffs?
Yeah. Like, yeah, they were supposed to be in the same universe.
Yeah, because Parks and Rec was originally supposed to get like a staple or a printer or something from Saver. And like, I was like, what the fuck? I'm like,
they should have. That would have been such a small thing that they could have just easily thrown in there.
Hell yeah.
I wish they had done it. I mean, it's the same because it's the same guy. It's Mike Schur and the other guy. Greg Daniels, I think is his name. But yeah, they went on to do that show too. So,
Jeff Daniels, who was in Dumb and Dumber.
I almost said Jeff Daniels. I really did. I was like, no, it's not Jeff Daniels.
Is it Jack Daniels?
It could be. That would be way more interesting.
He's like, okay, Jack, we got to get this writing done.
Yeah. And so this scene, I think, it's just thrown in there to further show how she hates her job.
Oh, I can see that.
Because that, it, you know, that becomes a thing later on in the episode, you know. So I think really they haven't done a lot with Robin yet. It's really just been a little bit at the beginning and like these couple of scenes where they're showing her at work and stuff. Other than that, she hasn't really been a big part of it yet. I mean, well, that's going
to
change.
Also, they end up referencing back to this at one point, too, with the stupid punchlines wrapping up stories. Because she hates those, the puns. Mm-hmm. You know, stay tuned for the whole tooth.
Yep. You come back later for the scoop with the ice cream.
Oh, one. Yeah, the scoop, yeah.
Yeah, the first one was the tooth. Yeah, because it was about a dentist or something the like dentist. That. Whatever, yeah. But yeah, then later on, back at Barney's, this is when Lily makes him call Robin. And he chickens out. Yeah. Yeah, you called and you're just like, oh, so blah, 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 and then you hung up on me.
So I realized Lily makes a very sexist comment here, though. And I don't know, it's just like a throwaway line.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I left a voicemail. And she goes, oh, you left a voice, but it wasn't essentially wasn't male.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn. I'm like, if a man had made a comment like that, oh.
Yeah, they make a few. I think it's also in this one with the it's in the next, because like behind the scenes peek, folks, we had prepped for two episodes.
We had
she does a line in the next episode too where it's like, ooh, come on, that's not great. But we'll get to that one when we watch when we record that one. But yeah, Barney explains that it's difficult for him to talk to Robin like this, because this is more than just a booty call, you know? And then we get this scene showing the progression of booty calls throughout the night. And I thought it was really neat, you know, and as the later that it gets, the fewer words are used. And by by 3 a.m. it's a question mark with a response of an exclamation point. And I found something out really interesting about this.
Please tell me this is another true story.
This exchange between Barney and his booty call is the exact transcript of an actual telegraph conversation between Victor Hugo, who is the author of Les Miserables, and his publisher. While Hugo was on vacation when Les Miserables was being published, he telegraphed the single character of question mark to his publisher, who replied with a single exclamation point.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I'm like, that's a fucking awesome thing that it's just there. And you have to, like, I would have never known that if I hadn't caught that on the wiki page.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
I love when people go back and add stuff like that that just adds so much more character that it's like, that's not something random. I mean, it is random, but it's also meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just fucking interesting.
That is really cool, though. I like that.
Yeah. And Lily can't believe that he actually got laid off of a question mark.
Yeah.
And hits him out of disgust.
Yep.
And then Barney mentions Lily and Marshall's code word.
Yeah, rhinoceros.
Rhinoceros. We get a whole little cutaway with that. And now they need a whole new code word, later on.
Yep.
Yeah.
What
were you going to say?
I was going to say, I love this shit. Her response to that is great. Now we have to change our code word.
Yeah.
Because it's so, I mean, like, and that's, I know this is a running joke that I've got with you, and it's like, you know, like, what's a random phrase that you could have as, like, a safe word that people would never know? And you're like, banana hammock. I'm like, how would that randomly come into a conversation? But, like, could you just imagine, like, there's a whole group conversation coming on, and then you look at somebody and you're just like, banana hammock. We have to go.
I'm sorry, but they don't make it very secretive. But he's just like, we have to go.
Well, I mean, they clearly have smartphones at this point. So here's my thing is like,
they might not, but they could at minimum just text each other.
That too. They could text each other and just be like, hey, we got to go.
Yeah,
you know,
something came up.
Something came up.
Something's about to come up.
Yeah. Guys, there's a rhinoceros loose. We have to leave.
Yeah.
We must leave now.
So then, Robin eventually called Barney back because, you know, he called her and everything, and he tries to talk to her but fails miserably. Chickens out again.
Well, I mean, he gets a couple good lines in here before he chickens out fully.
It's true.
And I love where he's like, help me. And Lily's like, ask her something. He's like, how's your day going? And she's like,
something personal.
Yeah, ask him something personal. When did you first get your period? She's like, did you just ask me about my period? No. Yes.
It's so bad. Oh, man, it's too funny. Oh, I loved it.
Question you've ever asked a chick and had to try to, like, cover your tracks?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. I'm assuming you have an answer to this.
For you, no.
No, I meant for yourself, because I can't. I honestly have no idea.
Not something I asked somebody, but something I said to somebody that I had to cover up really quickly. And it was when I was dating a very specific somebody in 2005, 2006, and I accidentally called her by her sister's name.
Oh, I've definitely done that type of thing.
Yep.
Used the wrong name.
I had to backtrack on that one very quickly to try and explain why I had misspoke myself, and then I stumbled over that one, and let's just say there was a banana peel at the top of the steps, and I went down hard.
Banana hammock.
Banana hammock.
We got to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be mine and Josh's new code word, banana hammock.
It's true. But so after, you know, chickening out again, Barney decides he's just going to claim it was the whole thing was a practical joke.
Practical joke.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting way to cover.
I mean, it's definitely a way to go.
Yeah, definitely interesting.
Later
on, Lily tricks Barney into going on a date with Robin.
Oh, yeah, I guess it would have been the same day, wouldn't it? Because it was 7:30 in the morning when all that happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, later on in the day, Lily tricks him.
And
he shows up for dinner.
Robin has no idea that this is a date.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of shitty on Lily's part.
Yeah, because she's just throwing her into it. Like,
yeah, I mean, and this is the thing about this that kind of bugs me. It's like the first couple of interactions they have, and Barney's like trying to swim in like deep water. Mm-hmm. Robin has no idea what the fuck is going on.
No idea.
So, in all fairness, like it's kind of like her feelings don't matter, and I'm a little upset by that.
Yeah, absolutely. We get I don't know if it's our first hint. But we get a definite hint at Lily's sexual attraction for Robin here.
Yes.
Which grows throughout the series.
Well, there's also one other great line here that I really love, and Lily says to Barney, go in there and try to be like the boyfriendy guy, and he goes, I don't know how to do that. And she's like, you know, be in there, be there, and like be talk
caring,
about
caring, be sensitive.
Yeah. All and he makes this little sly comment about, you mean be like Ted? And Lily's like, well, Ted nailed that for a year.
He's like, all right, I'll do that.
And I was like, holy shit. They literally just fucking like, here's a really nice Ted compliment.
Yeah.
Here's the backhanded fucking smack. Fuck Ted. And then there's Barney being like, I'll see your Ted Mosby and raise you Jed Mosby.
He was hitting that for a whole year. Oh, you got a point.
Right?
We also, this is where I first noticed Robin, yellow stripe on her dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, if this is the beginning of things for them, you know? And I don't know. I'm just saying, we said it before, you know, it's a fan theory, but it continues to seem to hold quite a bit of water.
Quite a bit. I mean, it treads pretty easy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they have an interesting date here, too. Like, it's not the worst date they could have been on. You know, Robin keeps not understanding that they're on a date, so she keeps trying to push him towards the waitress.
He is, like, he does such a good job of just being on his best behavior here, man, throughout this whole thing.
So, this whole thing, because there's the part of the scene where the waitress is pouring the wine, and, like, Robin's like, you didn't even glance. Like, even I wanted to rock a motorboat on this. And so this is my question for you. We have both been on first dates with somebody. Now, granted, they knew they were on a date, unlike Robin, who was unsuspectingly on a date.
That's true.
Theoretically, you're at a place like Olive Garden or someplace nice like that they're serving you wine. She's pouring you wine. Her glass is open like that. She's leaned over in front of you. Do you look?
I do. If I'm actually on a date, I do my damnedest not to.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, man. My neck might snap. I might get whiplash,
dude. That's what we got peripheral vision for. Well, that's what
I'm saying. But I mean, like, your perif only does so. I mean, she was like right up in Barney's face.
She was well within peripheral vision. You know he saw every inch of that.
Saved in the BPEG file.
Yep. Click, click. There it is.
But yeah, I mean, to Robin's dismay, she doesn't know they're on a date, so the date ends.
I love when Robin is like making like crude remarks, essentially trying to get him to kind of cave to it, like
the chiropractor.
I went to the chiropractor. I went to the dentist, and he was drilling me all day.
Look, I like the chiropractor one. He had me bent over that table, and Barney's like, "Is your insurance going to cover that?" Because sometimes they don't.
His responses were great. Oh, your teeth look lovely.
Your teeth look lovely.
Oh, man, it's so good.
But yeah, so then, you know, end of the date happens, mm-hmm. and Robin tries to set Barney up with the waitress.
That she does.
She wants to know if you can hit a baseball in your match tomorrow.
Yeah, your match. Yeah, because they do the whole Yankees thing.
Yep.
Which I thought was, because I don't remember if they've done it or they do, because I think it happens again at least at one point.
He tells somebody he's Derek Jeter.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then that comes back up in the table? Remember where it's like all the different Barneys? Yep. And one of them's a baseball guy? Yeah.
I didn't say nothing when you ran the plate telling people you were a New York Yankee.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
I love that.
I will say this, though. To his benefit, that waitress was pretty.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't.
And then
can't
do it. They flip scenes, and he's telling Lily the story.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, man, good for Barney.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shows a lot of, like, wherewithal. Like, he withstood the challenge.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden... Hey, Barney, when my parents show up to the field today, are the tickets going to be under my name or your name?
I mean,
I was like,
Barney
I
is Barney.
I forgot about that, but oh, man.
And I'll be honest, I kind of like his answer to this. You know, it's like...
Tell your nephews to bring their mints because I'm going to be hitting balls into
politics. No. The whole thing that he says to Lily about... You know, because she's like, you have to choose. Is it Robin or is it these bimbos? And he's like, I choose bimbos.
Bimbos.
Bimbos. Essentially, it's like, this is the safe route for me. I know this, you know, bimbos have always been good to me. You know what I mean? It's, he's afraid. You know, you said it before. He's afraid of commitment. And he is.
I mean, 100%.
And if he just continues doing what he's doing... He's not the one getting hurt.
No, 100%.
He doesn't have to put anything out on the line.
No, and you're definitely right on that one. Yeah. And it just kind of sucks, though, because at the same time, though, had things went in a different direction than they do, Barney could have ended up missing out on a really good thing.
Yeah. It's true.
Because Robin is the first step to Barney growing as a person.
Yeah.
You know, he dates her, and then we get more of, like, the James and his mom shit, and then he goes on, like, the path to meet his dad, and then it's not until he meets his dad that he meets Quinn. Like, it's not until Barney starts repairing himself that, like, his life really starts winding up.
Yeah, I think if not for this, if not for the stuff with him and Robin, I don't honestly think... he would have been able to be a father. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, how he just completely changes once he has a kid. I don't think he would have. I just don't.
No, he wouldn't have. You're correct on that one. He would have just still been, like, the same, like, user.
Yeah. I think he would have just been like, whoop, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm out. You know? Yeah. Unfortunately. Because again, I don't think he ever would have, you know, went to find his dad or any of that stuff, really. I don't.
He wouldn't have had the motivation to.
No.
Because, again, he wouldn't have started to repair himself.
Yeah, and meeting his dad and everything, having that relationship is what allowed him to be a dad and actually step up, you know? So, yeah, it's crazy stuff. But then, you know, Lily leaves, and we get this shot with him where he turns the TV on, and Robin's on there, and he just smiles, and he turns it off. And so we know more's coming, you know, that the feelings aren't gone. It's still there. It's ready for him.
No, but I love how he walks off into the bedroom anyway. Like, we know that the hooker, or the, not the hooker, the bimbo is in there, and, like...
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I love that they essentially close the episode with him, like, staring at Robin, and...
Yeah.
Then he throws the remote down and just walks away. Like, it's a great ending to this episode.
But it's not the actual ending, because there is a tag.
We get, no, you're 100%.
We get a little ending tag where the code word comes back. Lily and Marshall, they have their new code word. They're sitting there. What is it?
Code word?
Chimichanga.
Chimichanga. I love the tag. I love this code word because I'm such, for those of you who don't know, I'm a huge Deadpool fan.
Oh, yeah.
So Chimichanga, man, like, oh.
Absolutely.
It hits me in the feels.
Absolutely. I mean.
Chimichanga, we have to go.
The name of my channel, Merc with a Movie Blog, is it's taken from Deadpool, who's the Merc with a Mouth, so. A couple of Deadpool fans over here, so you know, chimichangas. I love me a good chimichanga.
You know what video I cannot find on YouTube anymore because I wanted to show Cal?
What?
Snickbub chimichanga.
That's a good one.
I can't find it anywhere.
I'll have to do some searching. We'll have to do some searching. But so with that, you know what time it is, my friend. It's time. Actually, it's first off. It's time to tell me. What'd you think of the episode?
I mean, this is a good episode. I love this episode. Yeah. I'm not gonna say it's a great episode. It's good. I have a lot of feels for this one. But yeah, it's good. It definitely hits you in the feels, you know, like I said, mm-hmm. Barney and all that and blah blah blah, and it's good.
Yeah, I think it's a really solid season opener. And it sets up a lot for, you know, that's going to happen. It sets up the two main stories that are happening throughout this season. Ted and Stella, you know, what and their relationship going forward and leading up to the wedding. And then Barney and Robin and everything that's going to happen there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, all right. Now, with that, we've come to probably most people's favorite part of the show, and that is... It's
Barney's
time.
Blog.
That's right, Barney's blog, motherfuckers.
Motherfuckers.
Suit up, bitches.
You need to get like an audio clip of like Samuel Jackson just saying motherfucker, and then like we'll get like a good Barney's blog, motherfucker.
And then suit up, bitches. You gotta always have that.
Suit up, bitches.
Yeah. All right. So this week's edition of Barney's blog is called Overcoming Illness.
Okay.
All right, and it says, as you all know, I recently overcame a traumatic and life-threatening experience. When I...
Being hit by the bus?
While I appreciate the get-well cards, muffin baskets, and boobograms you've all been so kind to send, many of you are under the impression that the 83 major and minor bone fractures were the most serious injuries I suffered. False. All the time I was fighting a far more insidious and debilitating condition, feelings.
Feelings.
I mean, we talked about it in the episode how he thought of it as a disease.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what it is. And so it says, during my courageous battle against feelings, I discovered in shock that the medical establishment has done very little research on this crippling affliction. In fact, some physicians even went so far as to claim feelings aren't even a life-threatening disease. Luckily for you, my PhD in awesomeness has qualified me to assemble the informative medical pamphlet for any of you who fear you may have contracted feelings. Keep fighting, America. And it says, are you suffering from feelings? What are feelings? Feelings are a tender emotional state that develop when a male becomes fixated on a single female to the exclusion of others, even others with bigger boobs. early warning signs. When you're around one particular chick, you experience pounding heart, dry mouth, nausea, inability to speak, sweating, desire to say flattering things. If undiagnosed, these warning signs can quickly develop into the full-blown disease. Here are the symptoms. Warm, fluttery feelings in stomach, lightheadedness, an unexplained urge to watch Love Actually. sudden increase in cuddling occurrences. Brunch cravings. But hey, Marshall loves himself a good brunch. But he's in love, just in general. He has feelings.
That's fair. You know what the funny thing is that if you've ever watched Bambi, they don't call it love. They call it Twitterpated.
That is true. That is true. Explosive monogamy, happiness, failure to notice other hot women, and crosswording.
Crosswording?
Yeah, like doing a crossword, I guess.
I know, but Ted does the crossword every Sunday.
He's always got the feels. He lives in the feels.
I mean, you're not wrong, though. You're 100% not wrong.
Yeah.
And he does the crossword puzzles in pen.
It's true.
And they always use Usley's gold. for the consonants?
Something. Yeah, I think that's what it is. All right, so it says transmission. Through correlation remains scientifically inconclusive. Studies indicate hand-holding may play a role in spreading feelings from one person to another.
Okay.
And then it says treatment. At this time, the only treatment for feelings is a multi-week course of other women. If symptoms persist, repeat course at a higher dosage. Note, this treatment can result in harmful side effects such as rash, infection, and some cases, pregnancy. Paid for by the Barney Stinson Foundation. Together, we can end feelings.
Wow. Good blog.
Yeah. I thought that was a pretty solid blog entry for this episode.
A longer one, too.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think that's all I got here. Unless you got any other thoughts, comments, anything like that about the episode, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Nah, and like we said, changes. So here it is. It's the new short and sweet version. Jump on over to Twitter. Find me at SimplySaneJ1.
There it is, folks. And you can hop on to Twitter at Movie Blog Merc. That is the Twitter page of my site, Merc of the Movie Blog. If you are watching this on YouTube, you are on the Merc of the Movie Blog YouTube channel. So be sure to hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, and click that little bell wherever the hell it may be.
And don't forget that if you're using your mobile device, you can use that to set that to let you know when new content drops. Look, we've been on a break. I'm a little rusty at this. Eat it.
We were on a break. You can also leave comments on the YouTube videos and whatnot, so please be sure to do that. If you are listening on podcast form, you can head over to anchor.fm/lastcallhymym. Leave us a voice message over there. Love to hear from you. And if you are on Apple Podcasts and you are loving the show, please leave us a 5-star review. It really helps boost us up in the rankings and whatnot. And if you write with that review something, we will read that out on air as well.
Absolutely.
So be sure to do that. And then follow us on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck it's called now. And I'm still going to call it Twitter. I don't care. You follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Last Call.
It sounds really weird to tell somebody to follow you on X.
Like, I know. It's real weird.
Get on Ecstasy. Follow us, people. Yeah, like I said, it's a trip.
I'm just going to call it Twitter. I really don't care. You can follow us, like I said, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Last Call, HIMYM. For all of our awesome How I Met Your Mother, How I Met Your Father, whatnots and stuff. I posted something about Robin Sparkles just the other day.
Yes,
she's
did.
The only Canadian musician that matters, John. That's it.
You're going to say even above Alanis Morissette?
I mean, it's Robin Sparkles, bro.
Fair enough. I mean, fuck Justin Bieber. Save Robin, at least.
Yep, Robin Sparkles all the way. But, yeah, be sure to do that. And I think that's all I got for him, man. What do you got for him?
It's closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer.
song.
Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't listen here. Now get the fuck out.
Catch you guys next time.